Now, I want to tell you a funny story. One couple in Australia, they got married, bride, and they said, let's go and travel in Australia. So they were traveling in all over Australia. And one Sunday, they went to a particular one place, and they're looking for church. So they saw a lot of church buildings, so they went, because they liked this particular building, so they went inside. There was no board outside whether which denomination. So they said, let's go and have a look. So they went inside, they saw the people and this couple, husband and wife, asking, do you hear anything that they are discussing about 39 articles? And the wife said, no, I don't think that I hear. And then the husband said, no, they are not Anglican. And then husband asked wife, do you hear anything they are talking about baptism? And wife said, I don't think I hear any word. And husband said, it means they are not Baptist. And then husband asked, do you hear any, like, speaking in tongue? And wife said, I don't think so, because they are very serious people. So they are not saying much. So husband said, I don't think they are Pentecostal. So both of them just waited and thinking, who are they? And then husband said, they must be the Presbyterian. Yes, I want to make you laugh. Okay. Now, okay. So we'll be looking today only one verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. And thank you, Elijah, for reading. Now, we all have goals in our life. If you think your life from even your childhood, right? When I was growing up, I wanted to be a pilot, right? But unfortunately, I became engineer. So, but we all have, if you think your life actually, even after you've grown up and having family, you have a family goal, right? Even people like us, partly retired, but still we have some many goals for me and Jyoti, right? Sometimes we have a health goal, sometimes many other goals, right? And as a Christian also, if you think, each year, many of us making goals. Like I have each year some kind of calendar that I want to grow in a particular area. From last year when I joined Belgrave Heights Convention, I became more and more busy. And my prayer life really disturbed a lot. So in the beginning of this year in January, I said, how can actually I go back and have my regular prayer life, right? So I'm working on that goal. So each one of us goal. But today I want to talk to you about goal of God. Bible tells us about the goal of God for every believer, every Christian. And I think it's very important that we should understand what is the goal of God and why God made that goal, and what should be our response. So this morning, my sermon, basically 3 points, typical Presbyterian reform, right? First is, right, why God made this goal? What is his goal? And what God has done for his goal? And then the fourth one is an application, right? What should we do for that one? Now, we know the story, what happened in Genesis, and I think from early childhood or maybe Sunday school, we are hearing this story that our first parent, they broke the commandment, they ate that fruit, and sin entered into the world. And it's so common for us to actually hear this, or maybe we know this story. For many, many times we heard that. But we need to think what exactly happened right? So that's why I chose that passage from Genesis, right, in chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we saw when God created everything, and particularly from verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So in two verses, 26, 27, what we see, the word image, right? Three times. And then it's not some kind of like photos or some kind of imagination or something like God think that, okay, how can we make people? But Bible says in our image. And that's very important word there. Our, that's a very important word. In our image, basically, God is saying that we'll make them like us. And many commentators interpreted that's like other gods. There is no other gods. I agree. But if you try to imagine, try to understand, you need to go close that and understand who God is and what God like, right? And that's basically God created our first parents in the image, perfect, holy, pure, beautiful. And it's very hard for us to actually comprehend because we are living in a sinful world. When we born, brought up, we live in this kind of world. So it's very hard to actually really understand or comprehend. What's holiness? What's purity? What's perfectness? One day we would be perfect, no doubt, right? But, and then in verse 27 also, Bible tells, so God created. It means what God actually planned, he did. And he created them in his image. It says in his own image. Then the word, you see, Bible is using the word own. Own basically like God. Right? So our first parents basically, they were similar to God. Right? Perfect, holy, pure. Right? But they were not God. That's, we need to make sure. Right? Now in Genesis chapter 3, what we see, and Bible recorded that our first parent broke the commandment and this image was corrupted. Now, Arminian theology and liberal theology, they say this image not completely corrupted. There is some good in us and that's why we seek God. But I'm not Calvinist, so don't quote me. Right, but I believe in Calvinism. So John Calvin explained very well, and Reformed people, they believe in that this image was completely corrupted. That's why we are totally deprived. There is nothing good in us. And even Bible, there are so many verses, it says no one is good, no one seeks God, and we are fall short of the glory of God. And that's our condition, original condition. And then Paul comes in Ephesians chapter 2 and talks about our true condition. He said, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. That is our true condition. Right? So this image which God created in his own image, our first parents was completely corrupted. But God hasn't changed his plan. And God cannot. Otherwise, not God. And it's not a backup plan. Sometimes people think God has a backup plan. No, there is no backup plan for God. There is only always one plan. God knew from the beginning everything. Right? And that's why in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we heard the gospel. Right? So this image, right, is very important for God. And we know in human history what God did. God sent his son, right? It's called the history of redemption, right? And sometimes as a Christian, we just think we go to the cross, we receive the forgiveness of sin, and then we stop. No. That's not the full gospel. Full gospel basically transforms us in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the goal of God. And that's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, what it says here, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And why he predestined them? To be conformed to the image of his son. And Paul explained to us in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus was the complete imprint of invisible God. So if you want to know God, then know Christ. So first part was why God made this, right? Because this image was completely corrupted. Right, and the goal of God is for us to be conformed in the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what God did actually to achieve his goal? And that's something we see here in verse 29, Romans chapter 8. For those whom he foreknew. Now, a lot of people interpret this particular word is called ESV translation for new, or God knew them from the beginning, and God knows everything, no doubt, because he's omniscient God. But this word in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, God says of Abraham, I have known him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. Virtually all the English version translate this, I have chosen him. It's not something that God knew about Abraham. It's not some kind of information. In Amos chapter 3 verse 2, God says to the people of Israel, you only have I known among all the families of the earth. He knew about all the families, but only chose Israel. I think particularly all these texts, as John Stott and John Murray, are exactly right when both of them say no is used in a sense practically synonymous with love. Whom he foreknew or foreknew is therefore virtually equivalent to whom he foreloved. Foreknowledge is sovereign, distinguishing love. It is virtually the same as set your affection on and chose for your own. So the meaning of the first act of God in Romans chapter 8 verse 29 is that God foreknows his own people in the sense that he chose them and loves them and cares for them. And that's why he also predestined them. This simply means that having chosen you for his own and set his love on you and cared for you before you ever existed, he decided what would become of you, namely you would be conformed to the image of his son. And that is the goal of God. James Denny, one-time principal of Free Church College, Edinburgh. What he says about this particular verse and verse 30 also, called is the most daring anticipation of faith that the New Testament contains. Then he said this because glorified is in the past sense. Believers are spoken of as already we are glorified. Means God, whom he foreknew, ultimately Bible promises in verse 30, and those whom he predestined he also called, those whom he called he also justified, and those whom he justified he also glorified. So to achieve his goal, what God did? God foreknew us, God chosen us, God called us, God justified us, and ultimately he glorified us. It's not that he will justify us. It's not he will glorify us. We may not experience that glorification right now, but one day, as Paul explained to us, we would be perfect. And we would experience that. But does not mean that we are not glorified. And that's very important. And then he said, believers are spoken of as already glorified. Their glorification is that certain. Here on earth we comprise an incredibly array of individuals, but when we get to heaven, we will all be like Jesus. We will retain our individuality, but we will also have Christ's character. The same gentleness, the same self-control, the same perfect love. John Donnie put it this way, I shall be so like God, so the devil himself shall not know me from God. So far as to find any more place to fasten a temptation upon me than upon God. Not to conceive any more hope of my falling from the kingdom than of God's being driven out of it. Will be completely perfect. For believers to be conformed to the image of Christ will involve transformation. Now, sometimes we struggle in our sanctification, I know. And sometimes we carry a lot of burden that we have failed, and I know, right? Every day we fail. But what I want to encourage you, God has done everything to achieve his goal. There is nothing left, right? And we need to actually stand in his promises. We need to stand on his word. But if we don't know his word and understand, sometimes we struggle and we depend on ourselves. When Paul speaks of transformation elsewhere, it can involve moral transformation that's placed in the present, and we are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of his Creator. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, he talks about in the sense of eschatological view. In other places, he speaks of eschatological transformation. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body so that we will be like his glorious body. In every way we'll be like Christ. Every way. Image is not something what we understand in our English word or in our own understanding. That some photo people like something. Sometimes we see children and said, oh, you look like your mother. Oh, you look like your father. Yes, that is one part of image. But when Bible talks about image, Bible talks about like God. And Bible also tells us that God is spirit. It means in every way we'll be like God. Now, can you tell me, where is in that four gospel or whole Bible that Bible recorded about Jesus' image, how high, what was his height, what was his weight, what was his color, please? No, Akalin said no. Everyone says no. Why actually Holy Spirit didn't actually give us that? Many Christians, and I'm not against that, I'm not criticizing, they put the photo of Jesus. But Bible actually is not giving us anything. Because Jesus came, took human flesh only for a purpose, right? But he is still God. And that's something we need to understand. But then when he was resurrected, right? He was resurrected with the same body. Right? And that sometimes we don't understand. And this is the full gospel, that we are not stuck here, but we need to enjoy actually what God has done in Christ and what is God's goal for me and you. And we should be actually focusing on God's goal. It does not mean we should not have our own goals. I'm not saying that. But more and more we focus on that one, more and more we really enjoy the life here on this earth. We can say that the God has predestined believers to be conformed to the image of his Son, both through moral transformation in the present and finally by resurrection on the last day. So in this life, what God did, he predestined, called, justified, right? So, and then in Paul's mind, basically the final confirmation for believers to the image of Christ, to the resurrection. So we are in that actually life. God is making every day us new. And that's why Paul talks in one of the letters that we are transforming from one glory to another glory. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit basically transformers. God's purpose in conforming believers to the image of his Son is that he, means Christ, might be the firstborn among many believers and sisters. So, and that's why the writer of Hebrews says, he is the author and perfecter of our salvation. So he is the main leader and we are following him. Do you know when Jesus was on this earth, he called disciples. And when he called them, what did he say? Did he explain them that I'm a Messiah, I'm a Christ, I'm going to do this thing, then if you will be with me, then you will be in heaven, you will get such and such deed, da da da. Did he explain anything? Yes or no? No. Yes, Janet, you are right. But what did Jesus say? Only one word. Follow me, right? Follow me. That was the commandment, because following it means basically that one day you need to imitate me. It's not just following physically, that wherever Jesus goes, just watch the miracles and do something ministry. No, that's the secondary thing. The main thing is these people need to closely follow in his step and become like Christ. And that's exactly your calling and my calling. The concept of Christ being the firstborn among many brothers and sisters in Romans 8 verse 29 probably refers to his preeminence among his many brothers and sisters, those who bear the family likeness through transformation and will share his glory. We are all excited and we should and we must to share his glory. But here on this earth, what is our response? Are we really responding to the goal of God? Or in our life, still we have our own goals, and they are the priority. I'm not saying again, we should not have goal. Right? I'm not saying that. But what is our priority? Those united to Christ by faith share in his image. Scripture describes this as the ongoing work of God, as beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Spirit restores what sin distorted, conforming us to God's likeness in Christ. Transformation begins with faith and deepens as we grow in the knowledge of God, are sanctified in holiness, live out righteousness and hope in eternal life. That is the Christian journey. That is Christian life. Like streams flowing from a fountain, renewal begins in the head and the heart and overflows through the hands and the feet. Let me repeat this. Like streams flowing from a fountain, renewal begins in the head. Because when gospel comes to you, either through someone preaching, someone sharing the gospel, right, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us, and then in our mind we understand and confirm and believe that this is the truth. And then the Holy Spirit works in our life. And at the same time, as Ezekiel chapter 36, it says, God gave us the new heart. He changed our stony heart. The greatest miracle in this world, if happens every day, someone coming to Christ. Born again is not something, just an ordinary thing. It is the greatest miracle, because God the Father elect, God the Son justified, and God the Holy Spirit regenerate us. The whole Trinity, who created the whole universe, created our first parents in their own image. That's exactly happened when someone actually come to Christ and be born again. Because that image, at the exactly the same, they start restoring new life. And that's why Paul used this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is Christ, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Like streams flowing from a fountain, renewal begins in the head and the heart and overflows through the hands and the feet. The knowledge of God renews the mind, holiness reshapes the heart, and righteousness directs the hand toward just and loving action. All of this moves toward the hope of eternal life when the redeemed will reflect Christ's glory. And that's why the Bible tells us that we are salt and light in this world, because we reflect Christ's character, Christ's image, Christ's glory. Now, what should be our response? It was important for the disciple to see that Christ was the image of God, so that they might understand both the work he was about to do for them on the cross and the work he would do in them later. Jesus' living picture of the unstained, unmade image of God in men gave his followers an idea of what they were created to be and what God planned to make of them. Holy man and woman of God. That's the goal of God. Throughout this process, the Spirit works in believers to strengthen the new desires for God given to them upon their new birth, and to help them resist their lingering desires for autonomy. Through the reading, studying, and preaching of the Word of God, he calls them to Christ-like obedience. He motivates them in their keeping of the law through the example and encouragement of faithful believers. He opens their eyes to their sinfulness. Countless other ways, the Holy Spirit polishes the mirror enabling God's people to bring holiness to completeness. Bring holiness to completion, just as was in Jesus Christ. God is at work in our life. We may struggle. We are not perfect. Paul says, I'm not perfect, but I'm racing toward that perfectness. I'm racing toward that goal. And my encouragement to all of you and prayer that God may help us to grow in Him. Now, Paul also, and we know that in the whole New Testament, there are maxim books written by Paul, right? Paul built so many churches throughout Asia. God used him mightily, no doubt, right? He was an evangelist, he was a preacher, he was a teacher, an apostle also. But if you study his letters, in particularly Philippians chapter 3, what was his desire? Did you see anywhere that Paul wanted to build many churches, has his name or big ministry, his photo? I don't think so. Paul had only one desire. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And when Paul says, I know him not, he was saying that know about Christ. Know means basically, in the Old Testament also, the Hebrew word, and the New Testament Greek word is exactly the same meaning, having the right intimate relationship with someone. And without that right intimate relationship, I and you cannot love God or love one another. And that's why when we have the vertical right relationship with God, right, what happened ultimately? His love from our heart and life, and easy to love one another. We don't have to force ourselves. There is no burden to love one another. It's so natural. Because the love of God literally flows from our heart. And that's why it's important knowing Christ means having the right relationship, intimate relationship with Him. And then he says in one of his letters about the goal. Not that I've already reached the goal or I'm already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. If you believe that you are a believer, if you believe, right, that you have trusted Christ and are born again, then you must remember that Christ is holding you and me. But then again, it's important that we need to hold Him also. And I want to say something, but don't get offended. In our Indian ministry, I told this many times. Sometimes as a Christian, we like to hold Christ from the one hand, and the other hand is the world. But if I want to follow someone, then I want to drop and then hold like this one. And then walk. And that's exactly what the scripture encourages. Even in 1 Peter, Peter talks about the footstep of Jesus Christ, right? In 1 Peter and chapter 2, I like to read this one verse particularly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse from verse 20. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And then listen this particular verse, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. We are called to follow him. And the goal of God is to conform us to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. And God is at work. Let me tell you the one story and then I'll finish. This is the story of our missionary Adoniram Judson. When the wife of missionary Adoniram Judson told him that a newspaper article liked him very much, and they are saying about Adoniram Judson, he was a missionary in China, right, as an apostle. They are promoting him as an apostle. Judson replied, "I do not want to be like a Paul or any other apostle. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him. Only copy his teachings, drink his spirit, place my feet in his footstep. Oh, to be more like him." Amen. God bless.